Yo, 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 Thought Warriors, what is up? It is I, Van Lathan.
And it's me, Rachel Lindsay.
Higher Learning is on. Let's get right to it, Rachel.
No. You know, ask me how I am. Stick to the rundown. Don't be bringing private conversations.
It's not
to
a
the
private
top
conversation.
Of the show.
I just think it's actually not private. It's really not that big of a deal. It's just like a movie conversation, right?
When we were talking Van about comes movies. In this geeked up, top of the show, he's ready to be just a little petty.
I'm not being
messy.
I'm not being petty.
You ready to get your Charlemagne on?
This is not petty. You, by the way, you have a problem. You have an issue with my friend. It's okay.
I just know it's going to get a reaction. I'm playing.
You have an issue. But look, here's the deal. Well, let's talk about The Last Dragon real quick. Before we started recording the podcast, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this movie. Some of you probably haven't. But it is a classic film. Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon. Shout out to everybody over there at Motown. Shout out to Timac. Shout out to Vanity. Did Vanity pass away?
Yes.
Rest in peace, Vanity.
Yes.
Beautiful lady. Beautiful, talented lady. So, yes. And we talked about The Last Dragon. And Rachel, we talked about whether or not Bruce Leroy in The Last Dragon was culturally appropriating Asian culture. Because, you know, that probably wouldn't fly today.
It would not.
And Rachel says, you don't like The Last Dragon.
Okay. I saw it later in life. And I mean really late in life.
Can't be
I'm
that
talking,
late, Rach. You're not
I saw
that old.
It, I would say, less than 2 years ago for the
See,
first time.
This is the type of shit that I'm talking about. Like, in a real way, what were your parents doing? Did you
First,
guys
you
watch?
Know,
the, did
you, know
did
you
just
I
watch? The,
watch certain movies.
So you just.
You know
so what
you
tell me is you guys just watched the greatest story ever told every day until you were 30 years old.
I told you when I was. We've had this conversation when I was less than 13. I could only watch G and PG movies. 13, PG 13, R 17. Like what they were actually the ages that were placed on the movies, and I was a really. Like goody two shoes, and I followed those rules.
So what you're telling me right now is that if I call Judge Lindsay right now and ask him who his favorite actor is, he's gonna say Kirk Cameron.
No, we couldn't watch that stuff. Definitely not. Don't make me bring my daddy back on here.
I love. Hey, it's me, Judge Lindsay, and I want to tell you to run out and see Left Behind.
Left Behind.
Tribulation Force. Remember, they had a whole Left Behind franchise.
Oh, no,
this was the thing about Left Behind. As if The Rapture could have a sequel. The one thing that you can't really have a sequel to is The Rapture. It's a one-time event.
They didn't get through it.
It's a one-time event. It's like,
but all the people who were left behind.
Left
we
behind.
Had to life after that.
Left Behind and then Left Behind Tribulation
oh,
Force with Mr. T in there. The crazy thing is, I only saw the first one. I saw Left Behind, and it was Left Behind Tribulation. There's a couple of Left Behind movies, and then I also watched the something code.
Da Vinci?
No, not the Da Vinci Code. It's something else. It's the Omega Code.
Oh no!
It was the Omega Code, biblical end times movies. Yeah, so that's what you watch, is what you're saying.
We watched PG movies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean they were religious, Van. Okay?
Right.
So calm down. You sound like the real Kirk Cameron fan over here seeing part twos.
I look, some of those movies off the chain, I'm not gonna lie.
You've been left behind.
Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Anyways,
I'm not gonna lie.
You know who introduced me to The Last Dragon?
Who did?
Brian. It's one of Brian's favorite movies. And he was like, and so we did this thing. Gosh, it might have even been quarantine when I watched it. Because it was I get to pick the movie this time, you pick the movie next time. So I was like, man, I don't want to see this. He was like, you got to see it. I fell asleep.
Rage, I'm just
I just feel
you
know. Like it's one of those movies you have to appreciate back when it was coming out.
Okay.
It's hard to watch now, like Rocky, right? I saw Rocky's later in life. It's hard for me to watch Carl Weathers dancing around like that in this day and age.
I get it. I'm telling you something.
What?
We talked a little bit about Van Jones and maybe him potentially. I'm letting you know that this Last Dragon
Absolutely
slander
not.
Is getting dangerously close to William O'Neill agent status right here. I'm starting to have...
You really do want to be Charlemagne today on this podcast, don't you? So I haven't seen a movie.
No. You didn't say that you hadn't seen the movie.
Said I couldn't appreciate it like you did said back in the day.
First of all,
you're not going to movie shame
me. Damn the disrespect. You didn't say you hadn't seen the movie. You said you hadn't seen The Last Dragon. And that's not all you said. You said that when you saw The Last Dragon, you didn't even much like it.
Fell asleep. I couldn't appreciate it for what it meant to you guys back
inside
in the day to watch
you,
it.
That's how I don't want it. The Dragon. The Last Dragon. You're the dragon. This movie is great. He gets the glow at the end. I don't know if you know that.
A glow?
He gets the glow. He gets the golden glow.
I just couldn't get over him walking around in the neighborhood dressed like that. It's so wrong.
It was Bruce Leroy.
That's the thing. I saw it in 2020. It's just so inappropriate now. It's such a problem.
You didn't like Show Enough? You didn't like Show Enough?
I mean, I'm just not a fan of the movie. Great. Have we seen the lead character in anything else?
I know him. He's been...
Of course you know him, Van.
He hasn't been in other... Look, I'm not going to lie to you.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you, has he been in
But look, here's the thing, though. Seriously, when I got to TMZ, there were certain people who I wanted to know. I wanted, I want to be this person's friend.
Okay.
I want to know them. I wouldn't say they were friends, but I wanted to say, where's this person at? He was one of them. He was one of childhood heroes. He didn't do too much after the last.
See?
Night. But he's a martial
artist.
Because
you romanticized it because you saw it in childhood. I get that. But see, if you saw it for the first time as an adult, I don't think you'd have the same appreciation for it.
Well, it just all depends on how connected you are to the culture as well.
Brian's more connected to the culture than me?
Yeah, seems that way. And by the way, this is not and this is not the first time that I've suspected this. Because Because you told me that Brian...
I told you what?
You told me that Brian, you thought Brian was going to put on Menudo. Your words, not mine.
No, you
said that Brian put on some, what was it, Boys to Men or something like that?
It was H-Town.
What H-Town? Man, Brian, light-skinned black dude. Brian lying. Brian's probably passing. Nah, hell no. H-Town? H-Town is a deep cut, even for... That's
it
not
shocked
even...
me. It shocked me. I'll be honest. It shocked me. But you ain't about to take away my card and give it to Brian just because I don't like The Last Dragon.
You did that. I think you gave your card.
You did that.
No, I think you did it.
Card are we talking about now?
Whatever. All of these all of these things that we're talking about here, these are... Mm-hmm. This is your stuff. Right.
No, you are trying to make it something that it is not. Continue.
All I'm saying is this. The Last Dragon is one of those movies. Okay, there are certain movies, certain pieces of music that you play. And if the person can't appreciate it, you start to ask questions.
I'm trying to think of what movie that was for me. At that age.
We left behind Tribulation Force.
No, maybe
yes,
Moonwalker. Maybe Moonwalker.
Oh, Moonwalker's a good one. But see, here's the only problem with Moonwalker. Moonwalker's a good one. The only problem with Moonwalker is at the time that Moonwalker was popping, it wasn't really, that was like a measure of whether or not you are a human being. Because everybody's house you went to, if you hit play on there, I remember I went to my boy Gray Spiller. Shout out to Gray Spiller, wherever you are in the world right now, white guy. And I was putting in WrestleMania, and there was a tape in the VCR, hit play, it was Moonwalker. And then as soon as I hit Moonwalker, the bunny was dancing. The bunny, bunny.
Oh, man, of course.
What was the bunny's name again?
The bunny have a name?
Oh, he definitely had a name. The bunny, the dancing claymation bunny.
I just remember when he turned evil. That used to scare me.
Yeah. The bunny. The bunny.
Are you sure?
I think the bunny had a name. Let me see. Michael Jackson versus Dancing Bunny. Let's see. Michael Jackson
Moonwalker.
Bunny. Michael Jackson Bunny.
Oh, Joe Pesci sure was in it.
Yeah. Have you seen Moonwalker?
Yes. No, it's just things are coming back to me. Brandon Adams, I had such a crush on.
Damn. Maybe the bunny didn't have a name.
Yeah, he didn't have a name. Have you seen Moonwalker?
I thought the bunny had a name, man. I thought the music video, Jackson tries to noid. Let's see. Hold on for a second. Damn. No, I thought the bunny had a speed demon.
See? It's just loud and wrong. Did you ever watch Polly?
Polly? No, what's Polly about?
Oh, my God. Okay. Maybe
What's Polly?
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
What is it? What's Polly?
It was the black version of Pollyanna. So, like, Pollyanna is all white. I've never seen Pollyanna, but it's all white. Then they did a black version of Polly. Rudy Felipe. Oh, my gosh. What's her real name? Rudy from the Cosbys.
Keisha Knight Pullum.
Keisha Knight Pullum played Polly. The lady who adopted her, who she was living with, was Felicia Rashad. Vanessa Bell Calloway's in it.
The rabbit's name is Spike. The rabbit's name is Spike. I knew it. Look, as the video begins, Jackson tries to evade overzealous fans, including Noid from the Domino's Pizza commercials, disguising himself as a rabbit named Spike. And then he takes the rabbit stuff, he puts it down, and all of a sudden, the rabbit comes to life.
Yeah.
I knew the rabbit had a name. I knew he had a name. I couldn't remember the rabbit's
name.
But
did he call him Spike, or is that just something?
I think his license plate was like, said Spike or something like that.
I'm like, I don't remember those words being spoken, but okay, fine.
So then what's Polly, though? Tell me what
Polly is. So it's this girl, she comes and she moves to this town, which is Felicia Knight Pullum. She's living with this mean...
Keisha Knight Pullum. You are losing...
Okay.
Points by the minute. That was racist right there.
No, Felicia Knight, Rashad is
Felicia
the, is
Knight
the woman.
Pullum.
Okay. I know, but Keisha Knight Pullum.
So Felicia Rashad. Oh, so they
the
Cosby
woman,
show, they're back together.
She like owns the town. She's rich. Keisha's living with her, and she's trying to like bring joy to this town that Felicia's kind of sucked it out of. The black people live on one side of the bridge. The white people live on the other. And it's just all following these adventures of Polly, which is Keisha. It's very, very good.
It's like a
musical. Brian Adams is in it. Brandon, shoot.
Rachel, are you?
Brandon Adams is in it. That's what made me think of it. Anyways, it was like a black film that everybody watched as a kid.
I never
saw
it.
Like with The Wiz.
Look, I'm not dissing Polly. I'll give it a go.
Okay,
I love films. I'll watch Polly. But don't put Polly up there with The Wiz.
No,
don't
I'm just saying like The Wiz is something like, there was the black version. Same with Pollyanna.
It could have been something that I just missed. I'm not going to lie. It could have been something that I just missed.
Polly
movie.
What I won't do is shame you for missing Polly.
Polly movie is, it is right here. 1989. You know what the thing is? I might have been out of my... I think by 1989, I had moved on to like Harlem Nights. I was in that phase.
At nine? Weren't you like nine around that age?
Oh, don't make me get my grandmother on the phone right now. Not only did we used to watch Trading Places, but my grandmother, there's a part in Trading Places. There's a part in Trading Places, literally at that age, where they're dancing in Eddie Murphy's living room. They're dancing in his living room because he's having a party. And there's this guy, and he's humping. Like, he's doing some sort of hump dance. And my grandmother, when we were kids, used to rewind that over and over and over again. This was Momo. And Momo would be like, let's watch that man drop the bucket again. He gonna drop his bucket. I love it. I'd be like, what? And me and Ebony would get so upset. My sister's listening to this right now. And we get upset. It's like, look at that man dropping that bucket like something fierce. All right. Let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With the Power's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
All right, I caught a little heat on the old internet for this one. And I want to see what you think here. President Barack Obama is now a coworker of ours. He has his own podcast over there on the L Spotify's Renegades with Bruce Springsteen.
So random, right?
It's an eight-part
series. I don't know how they paired up. They're renegades? Former president of the United States, a renegade?
And Bruce Springsteen is renegades, right? Renegades. So I guess because of the renegade sort of theme, President Obama told a story on the podcast itself. He says, actually, let's play the audio from President Obama.
When I was in school, I had a friend. We played basketball together. And one time we got in a fight, and he called me a coon. And I remember I popped him in the face and broke his nose.
So there you have it. President Obama would have us believe that he got in a fight because a kid called him a racial slur when he was a kid, and he popped him one in the mouth. I posted
with
this.
With a speech. Popped him with a speech.
Popped, with a fist. He punched him in his face.
Right. I'm saying, and then gave him a speech as to why he popped him.
Okay. So here's the thing. I said this on Instagram. I don't think this ever happened.
I saw that and I need you to understand. I need to understand why he would say that. Why? So,
he lying.
Why?
I'm sorry, bro. You guys can say whatever you want. I love President Obama. I don't worship him as a walking caramel deity like some of the other people in this world do. But I just don't see this in him.
Come on. Give me some receipts. Give me some evidence as to why you're just going to say flat out say that man's story is a lie. Like, I just knew that you knew something that we don't know.
Well, first of all, people say lie, and that's too strong of a term. Lie is too strong of a term. Because I think the older we get, the more we have the tendency to remember things the way we would have wanted them to have gone.
Okay, right. I don't do that.
So, okay. If you haven't yet, you will in the future.
I'm not fantasizing certain things and playing them back in my mind how I wish they would have gone or how I wanted them to go.
This
childhood
is
memories. So all these stories that you've been telling us that people love to hear on Higher Learning, they're not true.
Well, I'm not that old yet.
So did he drop the bucket or no?
That guy was dropping the bucket. You guys can go watch that scene. The dude had on like a gray. He's got a little. Watch this scene and post it. The dude had on like a gray vest and some gray pants with a white shirt, and he had a hat on, and he was just dropping the bucket in the living room, and he kept doing it. My grandmother would rewind it over and over and over again. Me and Ebony would get very upset. I don't know why, but because we didn't like to see our grandmother.
Because you want to watch the movie, yeah.
But no, I don't. I think that this is Cap.
Of all the things to lie about, I mean, here's my thing. If it was a lie, I feel like he could have told a better story. Like, that was it? You just popped him one time? Like, I don't know. It just seems to be so...
Why have we never heard this story before? Of all the race relations things that we've talked about, of all the different situations we've been in, how come Obama has never... Why is this story only coming out? Tell me.
Because he's no longer the president of the United States. He's a renegade. And as he's a renegade.
God.
I mean, you could hear the M and Jay-Z song playing in your head. Is that their theme music? No, it's got to be some Bruce Springsteen.
That'd be something Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run, something like that. I don't know. I don't think it happened.
Now he's stepping in. It's a different Barack Obama that we're getting here. So now he feels free enough to tell these childhood stories of being a renegade.
Let's say that it didn't happen. Okay. Seriously.
It didn't happen.
That it didn't happen. And Obama told the littlest of smallest fibs. as people tend to do when they get older. They tend to remember things and they say, hey, I was in the 10th grade and I scored 62 points against such and such. Really? You scored 17 points. Mm-hmm. It's just you weren't used to scoring 17 points, so it felt like 62.
Okay.
All right. So let's say that he did. Would that change the way you look at President Obama?
No, not the way you told the story. Because as we get older, apparently we just see things how we wish they would have happened back in the day. No, so he's an exaggerator, okay? Everybody's got that one person in their family, maybe more than that, that loves to just
spin
tell
a yarn.
The story.
Yeah.
Spin a yarn. Is that what y'all say?
Spin a yarn. Spin we a all, yarn.
We all, like my granddaddy could tell a story. And my grandmother would be like, June, that's not how that happened. Hey. That didn't happen like that. My dad would say, my granddaddy would tell a story. And every single time the story changed. Every single time he'd tell that story, it didn't happen. It would get bigger and bigger and bigger. Okay, maybe that's Barack. I'm not going to look at him any different. He's a storyteller.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that Barack Obama was president for 8 years and never told the American people a lie?
Of course he did. I didn't say he's
so
not
what's
a
the
liar.
Big deal?
I just think it's weird that this is what you're like, actually he's lying. What do you think happened, Van? What do you think actually happened? Since you believe that it happened, he's just mm-hmm. telling a different version. What do you think happened?
Something less dramatic than that. I think
he turned the other cheek.
No,
and
I
walked
think,
away.
I think it's probably less on all sides. I think the kid probably said something Obama didn't like. And maybe Obama threw the ball down at the ground. The ball hit the ground, bounced up, hit the kid in the nose, and then the kid ran inside. You know what I mean? Oh, Barry hit me with the ball. Or maybe Obama gave him a hard shoulder check. The kid fell, hit the pole. Oh, Barry, checked me into the pole. But as far as Obama going full fucking Bobby Seale on this kid and like
nobody
standing
said
up,
he went Bobby Seale. Popped him real quick.
That's just not, I don't see that in him. That's not how Obama
is. Do you
Obama
see me
is.
Popping somebody real quick?
Yeah, of course. But you like
no, you
to
don't?
Torture white people. Yeah. You.
Where did white come from? Where
you,
did white get
that's your favorite thing
there?
To do.
I just said somebody.
It's right now, it's a white guy flipping through the want ads. Looking for a new job. Because of you. Like, no, that's right now. Right now.
Man,
Chris
stop.
Harrison is having
it's too
his
soon.
Agents.
It's too
his
soon.
His agents, they're making calls. And it's all because he, you know, he probably has like your face on a dartboard every day. Chris Harrison is throwing darts at a thing. Like, this goddamn Rachel Lindsay, she doesn't even know. All right.
Enough.
So, interesting development in New York. Back in December, it's interesting to see what you think about this as an attorney. Back in December,
okay,
the New York people passed a bill that bans the sale or display
uh-huh.
of a Confederate flag on state property. Very important. Andrew Cuomo, who's got some of his own problems right now, signed the bill into law this past Tuesday. On state-owned property or at state events, such as state fairs, you cannot display or sell the Confederate flag. Okay. So I posted this again on the Instagram.
You did. You've been on a roll.
Been posting a lot of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there were people on there that were saying they had a problem with this because they feel like this is the beginning of the end of freedom and the start of fascism, even if you do not agree with the Confederate flag. That you should not want the state to get involved in stopping the display and sale of it.
They're only banning it on state property. So right. What's the big deal?
Shout out Beanie Siegel.
You can literally, when I first read the headline, so I'm assuming most people probably just read the headline. When I first saw your post, I was like, wow, how are they going to be able to do that and stop people on their own personal property, private property, to from being able to express themselves the way that they want to with the Confederate flag. And I read it, and I'm like, okay, on state property, you can't use it.
Yeah,
you can't use it. So, what are people upset about? If you want to slap a sticker on the back of your car and drive around, you can. If you want to wear a t-shirt, you can. You just can't wear it on state grounds. Mm.
Yeah, look, to me, I don't give a fuck. Like, I, to be honest with you, the way I tend to look at this is this. Obviously, there are things that can be, I once at school had to take off a Malcolm X hat because they said that it was a hate symbol. This was back in the day when the traditional sort of thinking of Malcolm X wasn't as evolved and people really, really equated Malcolm X to being some sort of violent hate speech monger or whatever. There was a time when that whole thing happened. Malcolm X, Black Panthers, there was a time when in American consciousness, they were looked at as these sort of white hating, super violent, whatever. And so they told me to take it off. And that was because there was a misunderstanding of the meaning of that. Now, to me, there is area there to have a conversation about what people really were. You ask somebody something and they say, hey, I'm not for violence, I'm for self-defense. It's a very clear definition. Not for violence, I'm for self-defense. Very clear definition. Both the Panthers and Malcolm X. I don't know why we tiptoe around what the Confederacy means.
I don't either. But do we anymore, though? Do we tiptoe around what the Confederacy means?
Sure.
Who's tiptoeing? Well, people roughly, who want to wear the flag?
Roughly half the country. Even people who don't wear the flag.
They're not tiptoeing. They know exactly what it means. That's what they're holding. And they're holding on to that. They're not tiptoeing around. No. Who do you think at this point does not understand what the Confederate flag represents?
I think a lot of people.
And what do you think they think it means? It's just, we're just celebrating the old South? Antebellum, since that's on.
Well, look, I think that privilege is the hardest language in the world to translate. Like you can't, asking people to check their privilege is actually asking them to translate their privilege, which is asking them to sort of be like, hey, this is why I feel like I'm better than you.
Okay.
And when people have to articulate that, it feels weird coming out of your mouth because it's not a natural state of humanity. Really, the tale of humanity and the achievement of humanity is that we've managed to live with some sort of cooperation. That is really the most important thing that man has done. It hasn't been all of these weapons that we've made to like kill each other. It hasn't been any of those things. It's been the sacrifices that have been made for cooperation. And I think that those things come from, they're innate within us. Like they're pro-evolutionary traits that we learned how to speak the same language and we've learned how to build communities together and things like that. So I think privilege is hard and it separates people naturally because you can't really speak it. You privilege is it's tough, right? It's tough for you to say, hey, fuck your feelings. I'm just better than you. All of this is mine. It gets very difficult. And when you ask people to speak that language, their brains fry because they don't know how to do it, number one, and it's unpleasant for anyone. So I think that having people to in a real way confront the Confederate flag and the images, and we've talked about this, you know, with the whole Bachelor thing, to confront what those images mean and what those images are, I think that's asking them to translate their privilege. That's asking them to be, I guess, a little too introspective about what it means for them to live here in this country and sort of reconcile that with the history of America. Like, yeah, there are things right now that benefit you that kill me.
Yeah.
It's a very basic sort of understanding that we have, but asking somebody else, asking somebody white to understand that is asking them to sort of translate that, and it's hard to do, and it's something they don't want to do.
I think they choose to be ignorant. I don't think that they're completely blind to what the Confederate flag represents. I think that's giving them too much, to be honest.
So you think that they're evil then?
Yes. I think they want to do what they want to do and they don't want you to tell them. I think a person who still wears the, whether on some type of clothing, hat, whatever it may be, wears a Confederate flag, puts a bumper sticker on their car, flies the flag from their house or whatever it may be, they are fully aware that it represents a time. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not talking about them. I know that they know.
Okay.
I'm talking about the other people. So look, the people that wear it and proudly embrace it and do all of that stuff, they know what they're saying.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the people that don't, but that would still argue in favor of people being able to do it.
And I guess I'm like, what kind of person is that?
Like Will Kane.
Whoa. Will?
I once heard him do it. Yeah, like Will Kane.
What did Will do? We should have Will on the podcast.
We should. Like Will Kane Will Kane was on ESPN some years ago, I think it was, and it's all out there. And by the way, I don't mean to step on your point, but you were making a point.
No, I want to hear this.
So Will Kane was on ESPN. I want to say this is 2015, 2014, maybe a little earlier.
Recent.
Maybe a little later. And it was in response to NASCAR having banned the Confederate flag or thinking about banning the Confederate flag in its infields. Or maybe there was one particular race that was banning it, or maybe it was a football game.
Oh, this was last year.
No, not last year. This was way before.
Okay.
It was 2017.
Okay. 2017 is when this happened.
Okay.
2017. And Will Kane was on First Take debating this with Max Kellerman and with Stephen A. Smith. And Stephen A. Smith was doing what he always does, which is give latitude to that type of shit. And Max Kellerman was saying, no, they were arguing the meaning of the flag. Max Kellerman was like, no, there's a specific meaning to it. Mm-hmm. Will Kane was like, look, I would never fly it, but people that live in Texas where I'm from or whatever, these are the reasons that they tell me that they're fine. We have to respect them. So the people that are flying the flag are one thing, but the other people that make space for it, I think that there's some genuine old-fashioned white privilege stubbornness that doesn't let them see this issue in the mathematics that it really should be in. Like, just in the equation that it is.
And I guess I feel like we're saying the same thing as in those people that you're describing still understand why it's offensive, but then they argue on the other side that it represents something different for them. I get what you're saying. I get that it flew at this time and what was happening in the country and who were the people that were flying it and what their beliefs are. But when I do it, it means this. That's what I'm gathering. That's what a Will is saying. So you're not ignorant to it. You're just choosing to ignore it so you can do whatever you want to do, or you cannot condemn those people for doing it.
Right. And I guess what I'm saying is that guys like Will Kane, more than anything, forget about the flag. They've been indoctrinated with white American privilege to such a degree that they just aren't used to being told that they can't do something.
Mm. Yeah,
they're really not. And so that part of it, the part where that part of it is like, even it's hard to get people to do that, to translate their experience and say, hey, this is like, hey, I just don't want you. This America's mine. Everything that I see reinforces to me that America's mine. So why would I listen to you?
It's like a bratty child. When you've been told yes, 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 and you can do whatever you want, and the first time you're told no, you don't know how to react to it because you've always been told yes. You've always been able to do whatever it is that you want to do.
I hate a bratty child, man.
Well, me
y'all
too.
Y'all raise these children because I'll whoop them. Y'all better raise
these
kids.
Let's have
old
Will Kane on the show to talk about the Confederate.
I'm with having
my
Will
former
on
coworker.
You like Will, huh?
I don't have a problem with Will, but I didn't know about this.
See? You're cherry picking.
I didn't know about this.
You want to send Chris Harrison to the soup kitchens of Texas, but you
y'all
cool
listen to
with
Van.
Will
listen, y'all listen to Van. Listen to Van. Go ahead and spin. You know what's sad, though? There
what?
Are real people who believe this. Somebody's going to take this clip of what you said and be like, even her co-host is disappointed by what she said.
Speaking of that, hold on. I just, what did
it's
I do?
It's wild out there.
I think it's E online real quick. Hold on.
Oh, man. Did you see what they said about me and Juliet? Juliet, I did. Shout out to Juliet. Our coworker did Bachelor Party. Talked about the hometown episode. We have this conversation as if I'm E! News, Us Weekly. Let me keep going. Life and Style act like I sit in my room and have conversations with myself about The Bachelor. They act like I'm not doing it in a professional setting on a Bachelor podcast. Said I criticized the other Rachel's anti-racist post. First of all, she didn't do an anti-racist post. Let's just stop there.
Did she do one? She didn't do that?
No, she didn't have an anti-racist post. This is what they do. They manipulate things for headlines and clickbait just to like allow people to spew out racism.
I got to find it because What was it?
It was E! News? Was it on their page?
It was E! News and it was on Instagram. And I went under the Instagram. Somebody was like, look how badly they're getting on Rachel. And I went on there and the comments were just terrible.
I'm telling you.
And I was like, you guys are all a bunch of weenies.
That's what you wrote?
Yeah. Wait, let me see.
My co-host always having my back.
I'm like, if you guys are a bunch of weenesses, because they were like, yo, Van, this is the bad part. Somebody hit me up. I can't remember who this person was. Somebody hit me up and was like, Van, this is the part of Bachelor Nation that is like mean that Rachel was telling you about. Or whatever, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I went under there and it was really, really bad.
I'm telling you, it's bad. And Facebook is even worse. They create these groups. I can't look because I blocked E! News.
Damn.
I forgot about that. I can't find it.
I
blocked.
Is it this one where it says, following Chris Harrison's temporary departure from The Bachelor, who will host the After the Rose special, Rachel Lindsay
That's
weighs
it.
In?
That's
yes.
It.
There's a comment with 1,568 likes. That there's a period after each word. No one cares what she thinks. Stop making her irrelevant.
Jackson, send that. Yeah. Like, it's people were just going ham.
They do all the time. They do this for clickbait. I increase their engagement because people just love to hate on me on these magazine Instagram pages. They love it. She's terrible. She just wants to be relevant. Shut up. Your 15 minutes is up. You know, it's wild. That I'm used to, but you know, it's been that way since I've been a part of the franchise.
Yep.
I'm not new to it. So Van is somebody will now say Rachel sent Chris Harrison to a soup kitchen. That's gonna be the new headline.
Look, we out here, man. We out here, Rach. Just gotta be aware of your power.
I would love to have somebody on from one of these sites to come on the podcast and talk about the way that they word these articles or how they use, come on, you know about this maybe from TMZ days, how they use an angry picture of me scowling and then the white lady is smiling, looking super innocent, dressed up. Like, please explain your reasoning behind it. Find whoever wrote that article. Let's bring them on this podcast and let's have a conversation and talk it out.
Nah, they're not, they don't want to do that.
Nah, come on. Don't be scared. Your name's on the article. Don't be scared.
All right, let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Okay, Rachel, do you like the movies Players Club? Did you like that movie?
Ronnie and Trixie. We've talked about this before.
Ronnie and Trixie.
Yeah.
So, just real quick, we're not gonna spend too much time on this, but this is something I thought was funny on the internet happened yesterday. Drea Michele, we had talked about her before. If you guys don't know Drea Michele, you should be on Basketball Wives. Drea Michele has a very love-hate relationship with the internet. Sometimes they love her, sometimes they hate her. She went on her Instagram stories. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Players Club. It's actually in AFI's top 100 movies of all time.
Really?
It was voted, I think, best film of what did it come out, 1998 or 1997? Nominated 2 Golden Globes, 1 Academy Award nomination.
No, stop. Okay.
I'm serious.
You lost me now. Tell him what the movie's about.
Players Club. This is all that happens. Players Club. Like, it's a true story. And the movie is about a girl who is in college, played by Lisa Ray. A girl who is in college, and she also strips on the side, back when that was taboo. Because there was a whole thing in the 90s between this movie, between striptease, where it was about real women who were actually strippers. Oh my God. It was taboo. And the whole thing was about, is it about this life? Is it about her club life? But she worked at the Players Club. Mm-hmm. So Drea Michele posted on her Instagram stories that they should reboot Players Club with her as Diamond, which is the character that Lisa Ray played. They lit her the fuck up on Instagram. It was really when Shade Room posted it. Shade Room, shout out to Juju and them. Y'all know what y'all be doing. Shade Room posted it. Shade Room posted it, and they lit her up. It was like, girl, you can't act. Girl, no. Girl, don't reboot a classic. If they do reboot it, we would rather see Lisa Ray come back and play Diamond than to see you play Diamond. Lisa Ray is like in her 50s now, probably.
Still looks great.
Still looks amazing. Do you think they were fair to Drea? You think, look, it was like they were mean. Be honest.
I don't understand why people are so hot and bothered by this, to be honest. If Drea wants to dress up and play this role and put it out there, audition for it, get some buzz, good for her.
There's no
I'm not
role.
Even the biggest fan.
There's no movie. There's nothing.
I know, but she's trying to create buzz for it. So, like, smart on her part, trying to brand herself for this role. I'm not, like I said, I'm not even the biggest fan, but I don't understand why people are so hot and bothered. But if the Shade Room knows what they're doing by posting it, so does Drea. That's a calculated move. Whether people are talking good or bad, they're talking about her, and that's all that she cares about.
Can't be honest
Look
with
at
you.
It. We're talking about her right now on this podcast.
I'll be honest with you.
Not my choice, by the way.
What's What's okay? I have a question. Seriously, I want to ask you. You, as a person who obviously doesn't like Drea Michele.
No, okay? I just think that she says reckless things. She so I'm says asking, and does reckless
that's
things.
That's the
for
reason.
Attention.
Like, what's the big
I
deal?
I loved Drea on Basketball Wives. Loved her. She was in her bag in Basketball Wives on the TV show. Loved it. Loved her every season on there. She might have been one of my favorites. I just don't like people who do stuff, try too hard. I shouldn't say I don't like. That's a strong word. I'm not amused. I don't care for people who try so hard. That's a calculated move. So I don't feel bad for her that people are coming at her because she knew what she was doing. She wanted the attention from it, and she got it. She got it.
But you do generally. I mean, I'm not going to look.
No, I don't dis. I just, she says things like, listen, we talked about her before. She made a reckless comment about Meg Thee Stallion. Wasn't for it. I can't think of another example, but she says and does things, I feel like, for the attention without realizing the weight of what it is that she's saying.
But isn't it really just about how much we like these people at the end of the day?
Sure.
Because.
Fine.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm not even talking because I was about to make a whole thing about other people who have said stuff that went on. She's like, no, I get it. Cool.
You're right.
Hey, cool. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, right. It's fine. It's fine.
Don't have to convince me. You're right.
It's right. It's about how much we like people. All right. Look, I've never seen this sort of thing happen in American politics that I can remember quite this fast. Somebody go from the darling of the political world to being in as much trouble as anybody can be right now. I'm talking about Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York. Now, Andrew Cuomo was lauded during the beginning of the pandemic for the strength and the resolve that he showed as New York caught the worst of it. New York, you know, suffered the brunt of the pandemic at first. It was the sort of unrivaled hotspot of the COVID-19 crisis here in America. Cuomo would come on, even for me, who didn't even live in New York. Cuomo would come on television and he would, his cool, calm demeanor. He seemed like a wartime general, like keeping his troops calm. It really was something to behold. Since then, everything from his handling to that crisis to his personal life as governor of New York has come into question, under fire, shall I say. We're going to talk about eventually the whole nursing home crisis and the nursing home scandal that he is a part of, but more facts on that continue to come out. But just recently, an ex-aide detailed sexual harassment claims against Cuomo. Cuomo, whose brother is, of course, Chris Cuomo, who is a very popular personality over there on CNN. This lady's name is Lindsay Boylan, and she's described years of uncomfortable interactions with Mr. Cuomo, including an invitation to play strip poker on a government airplane and an email from another top aide suggesting that the woman, that the governor thought she was a better-looking sister of another woman. So Ms. Boylan, who worked for the state's Economic Development Agency at the time, she published that email from December 2016, said that the governor began calling her the other woman's name in professional settings, an experience she described as degrading. She is currently running for Manhattan Borough president, and she is accusing him publicly of sexual harassment. Your thoughts?
I mean, you pretty much said it. I too, like you, enjoyed watching Governor Cuomo every day getting an update. I loved the way that he took charge of a situation that we knew nothing about. He seemed at the time to be very open about what was going on, which is why he was having those press conferences every day. You know, news was stopping to see what was happening in New York. They were the epicenter when we knew nothing about this virus. And it, people were talking president. Were they not?
Yeah.
This is presidential. This is how the country should be run.
Hey, we should throw him in there and let him go against Trump. And yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's the way we looked at him. It's very presidential. If you didn't know who he was before, you definitely knew once the pandemic hit in March. Now all this stuff is starting to come out. I don't know. I mean, it's where there's smoke, there's fire. I do not know what I was listening to, but somebody was describing the things that they've heard about Cuomo and about him being almost gangster with it. Like the way that he handles things. Who said that?
I don't remember.
Did you see that?
No. I didn't say that. What was that?
No, I said, what? Did you see that? I can't remember what I was watching. It might be Morning Joe or something. But it's disheartening because we already feel a certain way about politics. It's very hard to trust a politician and to believe the things that they say and who they are. And you find yourself saying, oh, maybe this one is different. This one is really running things the way we feel like is helping the people. Then all this stuff starts to come out. And you're like, can we really trust any of you? Are you not all the same? I just, it's troubling. More information needs to come out. I get that. But the fact that this woman is coming out with her story, very detailed story, it's upsetting.
Yeah. So you can't trust any politician, but you can't trust policy. You can't trust ideas. So I don't vote for people. I vote for ideas, right?
Yeah, I know.
So people represent the ideas themselves. But, you know, if you're fucking around on your wife or anything like that, I can care less about that. I can care whether or not Black kids get health care in Baton Rouge. That's what I care about. What'd you just do? You just hurt yourself?
I said, ouch.
Wow.
You fuck around on your wife, I don't care. You know,
I don't give a fuck about that. I don't. Like, you fuck around on your wife, you fuck around on your husband, I couldn't care less.
Yeah, it's not going to change how I vote for you. I get it, but just the way you said it, I don't give a fuck about it.
Okay? I don't give a fuck. Okay? So, but here's the thing. I call upon the left to do something here.
Okay.
Keep the same energy. Because here's the thing. If there are sexual harassment claims made against politicians on the right,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden it becomes these guys are the poor, worst people in the world. They don't respect women's bodies. They don't respect women's agency. They don't respect what women say, and they don't respect consent, right? I have very, very, very bad news for you guys. Is that misogyny is the most bipartisan thing in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
Misogyny, rape culture, all of that stuff. That's bipartisan, my friends.
Yep.
It might not be bipartisan in policy, meaning there might be one party that gives women more control of their bodies. There might be one party that doesn't want to defund Planned Parenthood. But what I'm telling you is this, is that when those doors close, the way men treat women and the way men provide empowerment and safe spaces for women, the way men respect women, that doesn't exist. It's not one, there's not one more skis balls on one side than the other.
Yeah.
That's a thing. That's a thing that we have to address as a society. I'm not saying that Andrew Cuomo is guilty of any of this stuff, but what I am saying is that I'm saying if this story would be enough for you to jump out the window on somebody on the right, then it's enough to jump out the window with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It certainly, because look, if the standard is that we're believing accusers, we're providing space for accusers, and when an accuser says something, we're taking it as gospel. If that is what people are saying, then you have to do that here.
I agree.
And so for me, what I think the way I look at that situation is there was an entire time when a woman would come forth and she would say that she had been raped or sexually assaulted and she would be shut down. Just shut down. You're lying. You wanted it. You're trying to take down a powerful man. You shut down. I think the way I view the situation is now I believe you. You come to me, you talk this, I believe you. This happened to you. The studies show that less than 2% of the time, or right at 2% of the time, is are false accusations. They're 98% of the time.
Wow.
Women are telling the truth. Like it's some number like that. So being that I don't have any problem believing a woman until there's a reason not to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a reason not to believe, then I'm not just going to be like, oh, she said it happened, so it happened. But if there's a reason not to believe, just like with anything.
Right.
You know, I believed OJ at first. Then I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we all do.
I was like, wait, no, they didn't get together and plan all of that shit. You killed two people. You know what I mean? But having said all of that, don't protect Andrew Cuomo. Don't protect him. I mean, if we're being real.
Who's protecting him?
There are some people that are like, this is just happening because this woman is a Republican and Andrew Cuomo has pissed off the wrong people.
Yeah, see, we can't do that.
And all of that stuff. Nah,
because she's a Republican. Come on, y'all.
No, hell no. Hell no. Keep that exact same energy.
Agreed.
Keep that exact same energy, not because, keep that exact same energy because in any of these situations, if it's about the women, it's about the women. It can't be about the politics. Mm-hmm. It just can't. So the reality is that this seems to be, at least to this point right now, a credible accusation. And until it's not a credible accusation, then it is what it is. I'm not saying I throw him away. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is at this point right now, sure, I'll look at him differently.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely do.
But at the same time, if more stuff comes out, minds can be changed. What I'm saying, there are no sacrificial lambs in this. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, they're just doing this. They're trying to get back at him, blah, 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 blah. No. No. It's a woman that says she was mistreated. She was working for him. You must go with the same zeal and with the same energy and find the truth. And if it turns out that he was in any way a dickhead in this, run his ass just like you ran everybody else. Party be damned. God damn it. All of this shit. Did you see what they did? You know what? No, I'm not talking about this real quick. I want to read you this while we're on this subject. Okay. Because I was about to go to Mr. Potato Head, but I got to be honest with you. I could give a fuck less about how Mr. Potato Head identifies. And I think that's very important. You know, it's fine. You know, it's cool. But what I'm saying is that who could give, look, who could be mad about that? If you're mad,
it's just so stupid.
Like, Mr. Potato Head can be whoever he wants.
It's like when things happen on Sesame Street and stuff, they get so mad. Yeah, people will get really hot and bothered by this.
Normalize it all.
Agreed.
Is what I say. Oh, but I do want to ask you about this tweet that I saw. I'm not going to say who it's from just because the lady has since made her tweets private, which tells me that she's getting a little hate. tweet says, stop calling your female colleagues smart, clever, or brilliant. It's sexist. You would never, ever stress how truly bright Brandon is when recommending a spirit of trust. It shouldn't be surprising to you in 2021 that women are capable of thought. So, this tweet has gone viral. This woman has made, she's laid down the gauntlet. She says that you should not call your female colleagues smart, clever, or brilliant. It's sexist when I'm in a conversation with someone and I tell them how amazing Rachel Lindsay is. Your thoughts?
You can call me smart, clever, or brilliant all day, every day. I'm not taking any kind of offense to it. I saw this. I'm trying to understand why this is a problem. It's not the same. It's not a microaggression, like saying a Black person is well-spoken or they're so articulate, when you wouldn't say that about their white counterpart. If I did something smart, call me smart. If I'm doing something that's brilliant in a brilliant way, I don't think that that's sexist in any way. I guess maybe I haven't come across where it's only used towards a woman and not used to my same male coworker. Is that what it is? It's a setting of a coworker, right? Yeah, colleagues.
Yeah, colleagues.
I think this is when people are like, well, then we're taking things too far. What is it that I can say? What do you want people to say? She doesn't give an example. It shouldn't be surprising to you. It's not surprising to me. I just feel like this is taking it too far. I don't understand the logic behind this. What do you want people to say if you do bring a lot to the table and you did have a brilliant idea? I don't think that that's gender specific. I don't think that that's sexist in any way if you said something that's brilliant. I don't think you're saying that women can't have brilliant or smart or clever ideas. Maybe that's happening in her workplace. Or what's going on? Maybe her boss has some type of issue, and maybe that's specific to that incident. But in general, I have never been offended by a male saying those words to me or using those adjectives to describe me. I'm going to receive all of that.
Yeah.
It never has even crossed my mind. It's taking it too far. And this is when people are like, what can we say? There's nothing that we can do. To me, this crosses a line.
Well, see, here's the thing is, as a man, you know, you got to walk the line here, right? Because.
Okay, you can't say anything. So I'll say.
Well, not really. You know, because here's the thing when Obama, the articulate thing, right? The articulate thing was an insult as directed towards President Obama because he was running for president. What's funny?
Your comment section on this post.
Why? What are people saying?
What in the entire fuck? Shut up, lady. Girl, shut up. There are real issues out here.
Right.
It's what do you want people to say? Well, I feel like this is specific to one issue with her.
So here's the thing. I don't mind being called articulate, right? I don't mind being called articulate in the proper setting, meaning that when they call President Obama articulate, well, yeah, no fucking shit, he's articulate. He's running for president. Like, the 95% with the occasional dumbass of people running for president are going to be able to articulate themselves. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard the rest of those guys called articulate. You called the Black guy articulate, which tells me that maybe you have some preconceived notion about how articulate Black people are. That's one thing, right? For me, if I'm in a situation and we're sitting talking, Vanna's a very smart, articulate, thoughtful young man, I don't have any problem with that. Most of the time, I'm not looking to have an issue with people over things. This question is it's different because as a man, you don't know when you're fucking up. It's hard. The only...
This ain't it.
Well, okay, I'm just asking because the only clues that you have of when you're fucking up is when people tell you. Because everything else, like I said, it's hard for white people to translate their privilege. It's hard for men to translate their privilege too. So I don't know.
Do you find yourself in a conversation and when like you hang out in circles that like I would think that everybody is like very thoughtful, smart, clever, brilliant. Let me use these words here.
Sure.
Do you only subject the women to those adjectives or are you just talking in general? When you talk about your friends, because you know you love to talk about who you know and your friends, mm-hmm. Do you only use certain adjectives towards the women and reserve other ones for the men? Or do you just talk?
What else with you? be honest with you. Chris Harrison's side of things is feeling real good right now because all the digs that you take.
And, when will this stop?
All the digs that you take. It's getting over and over again. You're digging. Dig Dug.
Well, you were digging at the beginning of this podcast, yeah, so I'm going to finish it on the end.
I had reasons. But no, so here's my thing. It's like, I think there are things that are more obvious that I try to avoid when, you know, talking about women. Because I watch guys talk, or even people on television and stuff, talk about women. They go, hey, they're very lovely, smart, and talented, something, something, something. Mm-hmm. And lovely comes before smart and talented all the time. When I see my little nieces or see little girls, I go, hey, pretty. Hey, how are you? You know what I mean? And I think I catch myself more on that. I catch myself trying to stop equating a woman's worth to her physical appearance.
Don't stop calling little girls pretty.
Don't stop calling little girls pretty? Mm-mm. Why?
Because, and maybe this is like a black thing, but I always tell young black women, girls, little girls, that they're beautiful. Always. Because you grow up in a society where it's not all, where your beauty isn't celebrated as others are. Uh-huh. So I'm like, hey, pretty girl. Hey, beautiful. I say it all the time to young girls because I want them to appreciate their beauty, their natural beauty.
Right.
I'm laughing as I sit here with the wig on my head, but you know what I'm saying.
It's on your head. It's part of you naturally. You pay money naturally for the wig.
You know what I'm saying? But no, truly.
Do you tell little white girls?
You might not get that reinforcement.
You tell little white girls that they're beautiful?
I feel like I'm not really around many young white girls.
Right.
So I don't really know. I'm sure I do. But I'm specifically reminded of it for young black girls because their beauty isn't always reinforced.
That's true. I've stopped because I just want these ladies to know that they're more than pretty, man.
Say both then.
It's like, I'm
telling you from a female perspective, when you're growing up and you're young and you're looking at magazines and things are a little bit different now, but you're looking at dolls, you're looking at magazines, you're looking at TV shows and you don't see yourself represented, mm-hmm. you start to want to be like, oh, that's what pretty is. So when somebody reinforces it, especially coming from a man to say, oh, hey, pretty, you feel that as a child. Like, I can remember that as a young girl when someone would say that to me. And so don't stop. Just add to it.
Can I ask you something? Wouldn't it be awesome, though? And this is just me asking. I don't want anyone to be like, Van's on the podcast, mansplaining to Rachel. I'm asking.
No, you're asking.
Couldn't it be a situation to where if we prioritize things other than pretty, then the beauty standard might not affect our younger sisters so much? If they thought that maybe they were going to be judged by more than somebody else's opinion of their physical form.
Sure.
Might we change that?
That's a beautiful thought. But society is what it is. And I'm not saying that, like, but yes, if we all did it, it could change it. So I'm just saying use both. Fine. Don't just stop at pretty. Tell them they're beautiful and they're smart. Despite what this woman says.
Right.
Tell them they're both. And then tell them why they're both. You know what I mean? Maybe that's the difference of why it needs to come after it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and by the way, not all kids are smart. That's the stuff. I see it all the time.
Or pretty.
I see it all the time. Wow. Rage. All right, let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
Oh, batch. Look, let me tell you something about Matt James real quick. And all this stuff with Brie.
All this stuff with Brie?
It's not all this stuff with Brie, but I just, it's like, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about Matt James real quick.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to lie. Matt James is getting emotional affirmative action from me right now. It's harder for me to be honest with myself about the weenessness of Matt James.
Because
of everything that's going on. I love black people. At first, it was easy for me to see Matt James as being the true weenus that he is. And don't get me wrong, you guys, he's still a weenie. But the reality is that I'm pulling for Matt now. I'm glad
you turned a corner.
I'm pulling for Matt right now.
Good.
Okay. Having said that, he still gets 3 weenies for this episode.
It's better than 5.
That's better than 5.
He's been off the charts.
That's better than
5.
Let me ask you, what was your favorite part of this last episode of The Bachelor? Because I'm being honest with you. The show is kind of fucking boring. There's a little bit.
I told you this episode was boring.
It was a little bit to get through this one. I'm not going to lie. I had to go back and forth. What did you like? Help me appreciate.
I will tell you that this was incredibly boring. It starts to get a little bit more, it starts to plateau at this point because the drama's taken out of it. But I told you this last episode, this is more boring than ever. My favorite part, Serena Pete leaving.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of the drama of it. I mean, she's flat out said, "You're not my person."
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of ruthless.
Yeah. Does that put her, because like, who do you think off this show will be the Bachelorette?
Well, it's rumored that it's Katie.
Oh, Vibrator Girl.
Vibrator Girl. People really like her. She's a fan favorite. Right. Out of this top 4, I will tell you, when I saw Serena go on a date, she's got a spunk about her.
Like that's what I'm
saying. A personality and energy. She's Indian descent.
Uh-huh.
So I think we've never seen that representation in a lead role. I think that would be fantastic.
Right.
So I could see her. I think she could carry a show. She'd have a lot of personality. She's clearly matter of fact. I'm actually going to leave because this ain't for me. You're not my person. I'm not even going to pretend. I liked that about her.
Do you know who should have been the Bachelor?
Mike Johnson.
Matt James's brother.
That's what the fuck
I'm talking about. Do you guys know about this guy? Have you guys seen this guy? What's his name?
John the Scorpio.
John the fucking Scorpio. And I'm going to be real with you. Rachel sent over, because Rachel is kind of a low-key hater sometimes. Rachel sent over.
Are you kidding me? I said Higher Learning group text has to see this. I loved it.
And so this guy, John the Scorpio, has a song called Gotta Do Better. This is Matt James's brother. Well, I tell you, this shit is jamming. That shit
I'm gonna be honest with you. Representation in the video. There's a full music video, y'all.
I'll be real with you. I'm not joking. That shit is really hard. John the Scorpio is hard as fuck.
I thought it was going to be a joke. And when I saw it, I had to verify this is Matt's brother. Matt has never mentioned him. I'm a little disappointed. I don't know why you're keeping him from us. He better be. Okay, man, you don't know this, but usually, second to last episode, we meet the lead's family. If we don't meet John, y'all need to be like, this needs
let
to
me tell
viral
you something.
On Twitter.
Let
we
me
need
tell
this
you
representation
something.
On the show.
Let me tell you why Matt James, I'm revising Matt James's weenie rating to give him 5 weenies. Okay. 5 out of 5.
See, you could never catch a break. I knew you wouldn't stick to 3. You do
five
this every time. Go ahead.
5 out of 5. Okay. You want me to tell you why?
What?
Do I have latitude? Okay.
So, yes.
Gotta Do Better by John Escorpio came out 5 months ago. That's 1,800 views. So not even 2,000 views. Let's be honest. That's trash. Okay? Let's be honest. That's trash.
Yes. With a brother, yes. That the is the most famous bachelor.
The reality is that this is a decent song. It's at least as good. The video is high quality. My question is, it's got 12 comments. John Escorpio has 20 fucking subscribers on YouTube. I'm not even joking. That is fucking pathetic. Your brother has nearly 1 million followers on Instagram. Your brother is one of the most famous people on television right now. You mean to tell me that you can't throw this video up in your story? You can't help John Escorpio, who says in this song that he went to jail for thieving? John Escorpio, you can tell he's Matt's brother because this nigga look like he like 6'9" out here riding a skateboard. You mean to tell me that you can't help John Escorpio get his shit off? You know what? How many people from back home who shit that I post on my gram? These are guys I don't even know like that. It's dudes that I haven't seen since ninth grade. We played 1 week of freshman football together, then they went to prison. Hey, Van, do you remember me? Yeah, I remember you, bro. How are you? Guess what? I've been down 13 years. I just got out. Throw this video up on the story. I got you. Shit is terrible. It's not even John Escorpio level. And the reality is that Matt James is not passing the plug right now. I don't give a fuck what happened between him and John Escorpio.
Yeah, maybe, I wonder if they're close or not.
Maybe John Escorpio went to jail for thieving from Matt James. Who knows? But the reality is, you can't help your brother. They look just alike.
They look alike. They look alike.
They look just, you can't help your brother? Let me look at the comments.
He should have posted the music video because I'm telling you, we have to see this man on the season.
Matt James, you're a weenie dog. You're a wiener dog. But I will say I'm pulling for you.
Y'all need to go check out, go follow John the Scorpio on Instagram. John the Scorpio on YouTube. Go show this man some love because the song really does go hard.
It knocks. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in.
Okay, let's cut that. Let's cut that and roll that for each Thursday. He's so proud of that, y'all.
That was off the top of the dome. That was off the top of the dome.
That's our song. That's it.
That was crazy. Okay, let's do mailbag, I guess. From Kyle Fauché.
Grabbing the mic. I hate him.
who was the first person that Van and Rachel were starstruck by in real life?
Didn't you say yours was Bow Wow?
No, I never said that. What?
When Bow Wow was on the show.
I never fucking said that. You're just making shit up. Uh-huh.
I think this is the memory that comes to mind is Randy Moss.
Oh, that's a good one.
I still do, but I feel like when I really got into football, Randy Moss had just been drafted, thought he was coming to the Cowboys. He wasn't. There was a guy that I liked that kind of looked like Randy Moss. I was so into him. I loved his attitude. I loved his game. I loved the way he would wear his hair. Ugh, everything about Randy. Mm-hmm. Then I went to ESPN. Randy does Sunday football. I used to do a radio show on Sundays. I saw him. So the way ESPN works is everybody is the war room and everybody watches all the games on all these screens. So everybody who has a show, whether it's on TV or radio, is in this room. So like as a sports fan, I'm fanning out all these people in here. Randy Moss walks in. I walk out the room. I couldn't even be in the room with him in there. I was like, panicking. Like I was 12 years old again. Mm-hmm. I shared this with a coworker. Ryan Clark. One day we're walking down the hall together and Randy and Charles Woodson come. Wasn't even starstruck by Charles.
Right.
Come walking down the hall. I take off running because I'm nervous that Randy's there. Ryan's like, hey, Rachel, didn't you always say you wanted to meet Randy? I had to come back, meet him, said hello. He couldn't have been more nice. So lovely. Said we were family because we're all coworkers. But he still makes me nervous. Still makes me nervous.
Interesting. If I was Ryan Clark, I would have took it to HR. Why are you talking about your coworkers? If I was Ryan Clark, I would have took it to HR. Why are you talking about your coworkers like this?
For what?
Creating an unsafe environment. Like you're
I run away every single time he's around. No. Not run to, run mm-mm. from.
No, can't do it.
Called HR.
Call HR. For me, was I first got to LA, I was at Venice Beach and I saw Diana DeVoe.
Let me look this up. Hold on. Don't describe. I need to see.
Diana DeVoe. DeVoe.
Just Googled it.
Okay. I was wondering why you had not shamed me for not Diana knowing. And now DeVoe. I see why. Go ahead.
Legend. I saw her at Venice Beach. She had a little backpack on. Remember those little backpacks the girls used to wear where they had these little straps and they had a little pack on? Yeah. And I was like, hello, I'm a big fan. And then she just kind of looked at me and then we took a picture. Diana DeVoe. Floored me. Next question.
Do you still have that picture? That's my question.
No.
See, I didn't even ask for a picture. I was too scared. He still makes me nervous. Right. Diana DeVoe. I was like, am I missing something here? Who is that?
Okay, next question from Risa Bass. If you could have any living performer perform a private show for you at your birthday party, who would it be?
Diana DeVoe. No, good question.
Because it's like, what kind of mood do I want for my birthday party? Yeah, it's crazy.
Any living performer at a birthday party. It's not Beyonce. I'll be honest with you.
It wasn't going to be Beyonce.
If
I was like, if it was more chill.
I know who it is.
Who? Go.
Bruno Mars.
That's the type of party you want. See, I was going to say if mine was more chill, I would say Lauryn Hill, right? We don't see enough of her.
She's not coming to the party. Like you, like the food gonna be cold. Like the cake gonna be stale.
Don't make up new rules to the question. Like she's not coming to the party. Who would you want? Who would you want? Okay, I would want Lauryn Hill. Man, Bruno Mars, that was a good one.
Yeah, Bruno be getting it up there doing his little dance.
I kind of want to steal that.
Like Bruno Mars be
getting it.
That's a fun
party, and he could slow it down. He could slow it down for you. See, that was a good one. Yeah, I'm stealing that.
And he'll bring the cocaine, all of that. Last one.
Okay, from Jana Jackson, I want to know if Van and Rachel has any wild Mardi Gras stories.
That's all Van. Van has it. I've actually never been to New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
I can't tell them because they all involve illicit sexual action. Like I can't.
With you or somebody else. Don't name people.
Well, not with me. Like there's things that like.
Why don't you just Barack Obama the story and tell it
to
us?
No, I can't Barack Obama the story. They all involve like this all freak shit. Like you're there in New Orleans. Especially if it's a warmer Mardi Gras, it's going down. So 100,000 people down there, you can't move. Like they're ladies there. You see them. One time we met these girls from Tucson, man. Shout out to Tucson. I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like if Tucson is listening right now, Tucson girls like to have a good time, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
Because there's nothing to do in Tucson.
Tucson girls like to have a good time. Like I remember this was. Because this is the South, right? So me and the homies are down there. And I'll tell you how drunk I was. I was so drunk that it didn't even bother me that we would be seen wide open in New Orleans with some white girls, which could have, you know, because, you know, it's like, because like when you're in a, when you with a white chick in public, it's cool until like you see black women. And
that's true.
And then you're like, damn, I'm fucking up. Do you know what I mean? But we was down there like, I mean, we had really adapted to their ways, my whole crew. Like, we were dancing off beat. You know what I'm saying?
Stop.
We were. Like, my whole crew, like, we had adapted to their thing. I remember, this is so funny. Remember that song, Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah, of course.
We had never heard that. Okay. So look, check this out. Seriously, this is a true story. I wish Ryan was here. Like, we had never heard that song. I had no fucking clue what that song was. Never heard it. But we're at, I want to say Razoo's or someplace like that. We are so fucking drunk, right? We are so drunk. And all of a sudden.
Wait, you were at Razoo's?
I think
the
so.
The restaurant or the club on Bourbon Street?
The club on Bourbon Street.
It's one of my favorite clubs on Bourbon Street.
It's a very touristy place to go. But
it
like,
is. I'm a tourist.
That's where people go when they're in town. Right, exactly. So we in that bitch, and like, I actually got scared because all of a sudden the song comes on, and these girls start going, oh, and they start like really, really getting into it. And I'm like, and then it comes down, and like, and the Who Let the Dogs Out part comes on, and they are going ape shit, but the whole crowd full of white people was going ape shit too. They were going, who, and I'm looking around, I'm starting to think that this is some weird racist shit. I really don't know what to think. Like, I'm looking around like, yo, it almost felt like Get Out, where you realize that the white people are out to kill you. It seemed like some kind of idea and fucking, like, agreement that they had between each other. Like, who killing niggas? Who killing niggas? And I'm like, because I never heard the song, and they were, when I say
and
these
you
chicks,
were drunk.
And I was drunk. These chicks were losing their shit. They were so happy about this
song.
Who Let the Dogs Out joint. Because there's not a black club in life where you've ever been to.
Oh, God, no.
Where they
Wait,
put on who Let the Dogs Out.
You said Get Out. Did you see that was trending this week during The Bachelor?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I can't show that on Twitter that you didn't. Trending big time during The Bachelor. Like, it was like Bachelor. It was like Get Out, Bachelor.
No, I didn't see it. It makes sense, though. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, well.
But no, what I'm saying is, just real quick, I'll put a button on this story. These girls were staying in the W, but not the W over off Poitras or like further in the quarter, the really super nice W that's in the quarter.
Yeah.
They had bread. And it went down to the W. Fun ladies. They remember who they are. Fun ladies.
Okay. Glad everything worked out safely.
Tucson. That's all I'm gonna say. All right. Do you have an unexpected ally of the week?
Yeah, real quick. I'm not sure who did it, but whoever sent a mariachi band to Ted Cruz's house because he couldn't be in Cancun, that is so funny. I don't know who did it. I don't know what you look like, but you are my unexpected ally of the week. People are so creative. Sent a band so he didn't miss out on the Cancun experience. It's funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
one?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
No, I don't.
I'll be
no,
angry this week.
No, I don't. I don't have an unexpected ally of the week. I was gonna do Frank Biden, Joe Biden's little brother.
Okay,
I'll tell you why. He didn't do anything good, but this guy's gonna be a problem.
I have not heard the story.
Frank Biden, Joe Biden's little brother. This guy is going to be a problem. Okay, he was down in Florida, hanging out with Floyd Mayweather Jr. No mask on. He was getting it. Once again.
How old is Joe Biden's brother?
He's his younger brother. This guy's going to be a problem. I'm telling you already, I love Frank Biden. I love Frank Biden. I got to be honest with you. I love Frank Biden. There you go. All right, you guys, that's it. Who let the dogs out? Tell your thing caps off. Do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan.
I'm Rachel Lindsay.
We out.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.